We are going to look into several places tonight, but predominantly the chapter, the book of Luke, the 14th chapter. So if you join us in Luke chapter 14. Our verse tonight, this one will get us started. It's verse 26. Luke 14 and verse 26, which says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Okay, we've been exploring some of the difficult sayings in the scripture. This must surely qualify. Steve Clinch calls these conundrums, and he's right, because some of these are quite challenging to grasp exactly what the Bible means. You know, it says what it says, and it means what it means, but it doesn't always say what it means. Did I get that right? It doesn't always mean what it says, but it means what it means. Now, tonight, this verse before us is no exception. So, for instance, on one hand, we have this really difficult, exacting expression from our Savior. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And on the other hand, we have the ancient commandment there given by God on Sinai. And you remember what the Lord said. Now, Moses came down the mountain with two tablets, and they say to us that on one tablet was the commandments that relate to our relationship to God, how we worship him, how he is exclusive, how we love him. And the second one deals with our relationship to men. And topping that list, the fifth commandment is, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And then as you continue reading in the scripture, you find that God is love, and that we have been given a new commandment to love one another. Our Savior said this. John reiterated this. And touching then again upon family relationships, Moses underscores this, and listen to this. This struck me recently, reading back through Deuteronomy, but you know, when they said the blessings and the curses, they got into the land of Israel, and there was one mountain here and one mountain there, and six tribes stood over here and for the blessing, and six tribes stood over there for the cursing, and the Levites were to cry out a statement, and they were to all say, Amen. And the first, when they got to the curses, the first curse is any man who makes an idol or a molten image. And that was to be an abomination to the Lord, and all the people would say, Amen. The second one is, cursed is he who dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. And so we have what, at least at the face value, appears to be contradictions in Scripture. Honor your father and mother. If any man does not hate his father and mother, he cannot be my disciple. Oh my, what am I going to do with this? Now, the new follower in Christ might stumble over our Lord's statement, or he might conclude this, or she might conclude this, that the Bible is just too difficult to grasp. I can't get it. It just says things on random fashion, and I can't put it together. So I can't get it. Or it's just too antiquated to practice these things. And this may have been a verse that was more understandable in those ancient times, they might say, not realizing, mind you, that statement of our Lord would hit them harder than it hits us. Their culture was more devoted to family, more entrenched with the sense of respect and love to one another. We've gotten rather casual in our days in this country and in the West, at least, haven't we? We still love one another to an extent, but maybe it doesn't hit us as hard as it would hit them. Now, our Lord was testing them. So, what does it mean? What did he mean by the word hate? And you look up the hate, that word in the Greek lexicon, and you'll find that it actually means, it's their word for detest. So it's a strong word. They're not just using something metaphorically. He is giving them a blistering statement here. And, well, how do you interpret that then? And some would say, well, he interprets it himself. And this is the parallel, a parallel passage in Matthew. And listen to this. I'll just read this to you. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is worthy of me. And so the classic explanation is, it's an expression of degree, that we are to love him supremely, and all other loves are to take some place far beneath our love to Christ. And I suppose the best parallel to that would be your love for your wife or your love for your husband. Okay, remember the day when you chose her. And it was the kind of thing, the kind of choice that it was exclusive, wasn't it? And Roy Dean said to Sharon, I will love you with all my heart for all my life. And that doesn't mean he hates Billy or that he hates Zoila or hates Sharon, but it just means, by comparison, he has devoted his heart to this dear lady right here. And so it goes around the room. All right. So that's the classic explanation of this verse. But then we have to remember something. That passage in Matthew, let's not pull the rug out from under the severity of it. Let me go back here for just a minute. It was Matthew 10. If you want to write that, if you're taking notes, it was Matthew 10. But right before he said that verse that we quoted, how did this go? He who loves father or mother more than me. Right before that, he says this, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. But he's linking these two thoughts. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And he's not describing geopolitical conflicts here. He says, no, I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And, he says, a man's enemies will be the members of his household. And what he's doing right there, of course, he's quoting Micah and the prophecy from Micah. And he says, and I'm the one doing this. I've come for this, to bring this sword into the world. What's he saying? I have come, and by my coming, yes, it will redeem men, but also it will have this effect that there will be the division in families. This one against that one. Another one against another one. Why? Because this one loves Christ. This one believes the scripture. This one wants to follow God. This one may not. And there is a natural division. Well, it's spiritual, isn't it? But it just naturally happens when one person is born again, say, in a family, and the other person is not. And then what do they do? There is an automatic conflict, and the Lord says, these things are inevitable. I have come to bring this sword. So it is a difficult statement, but these are the terms of discipleship. He's not worthy to be my disciple, the Lord says in both places. You cannot be my disciple. All right. Let me just share with you some random thoughts. And I want to say this first because it's not written down and I don't want to forget it. Happy the house where you grant the members in it the freedom to follow God. You agree with that? The house is happy if you give to your children that liberty to follow Christ. Say they want to go off into the mission field and you never see them again, or you might see them once on some odd distant furlough and you think, I can't do that. Well, there's that sword right there. Or if they reverse this, if the parents want to follow God and the children honor their parents as they do this, it's a scene of happiness. Husbands, you grant your wives honor as fellow heirs grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so it's imperative that in this family relationship, which our Lord is not dissolving by any stretch, in the family relationship that we give each other that liberty, that freedom to follow the Lord, and we honor that as best we can. So, another thought is that this is a testing, searching word from Christ. And you'll notice back here in Luke 14, verse 25, the verse right before where we started says this, large crowds were going along with him. And he turned and said to them, our verse. Now, what was happening? I mean, it's easy to fill a stadium if you're a miracle worker, you have a very popular message and things are going swimmingly. And people are starting to think, this is the King of Israel. He gives his people bread. He gives them fish. He gives them all the things that Moses said the Savior would do. He opens the eyes of the blind. He raises the dead. He heals the sick. The lepers are walking among us again, whole and sound. And you think, I've got to follow this guy and just see the wonder of it. And there's this sense of curiosity, spiritual curiosity there. But what he's saying is he turns around and says to all of them, now look, there's a cost. In following me, there is a cost. And that cost very well might cut across the nearest and the dearest. And you've got to put your affections for all things. And it's not just mother and father and wife and husband and children. It's your own life. Doesn't he say that? Yes, even his own life. He cannot be my disciple. And so this word to them is a test. He's testing them. Will you still follow? And there are several such instances like this where they began to peel off and not follow him anymore. This is a hard saying, they would say. Who can bear it? Who can listen to such things? And off they would go. Now you ever wonder about those guys? They went home and they're sitting there just fuming over something Jesus said. What was their life like after that? How miserable were they? Did they repent on the day of Pentecost? We can hope. Anyway, that was not in the notes. I think there's another thought. If anyone comes to me, this is a hint to all preachers who are giving an invitation. Come. It's open. Yes, you cast your net as far as it will, but we should say this to them. Now, when you come, if you come, this is the one to whom you're coming. He demands absolute, total loyalty, fealty, obedience. He is not just your heavenly best friend. He will be that, but he is your Lord and he is your master, and he is King of kings and Lord of lords. So when he says, come, these are his terms. We don't come to him on our terms. We come to him on his terms. And he is defining our approach. We must love him supremely. And as I think about that, if anyone comes to me, he is describing something that's already happened in the heart, don't you think? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own, father, mother, wife, etc., children, he's describing those who have settled it already. They just the loyalty has shifted from self, from others, from things, from this world, and it's fastened itself upon this one who is the Savior. That's why we come. If you find your heart drawn to Him, then that is the Spirit of God wooing you, and that is the Spirit of God convincing you that you want Him and Him alone. But the third thought is this word, we love Him more, or we hate our own family, children, mothers, brothers, sisters, and our own life. It's a test. It's a way by which, I mean, we can test ourselves. Do I love the Lord or not? You can take it down this far. Am I really a believer? Am I a Christian? Do I follow the Lamb? Am I one of His? And this is a test for us. Are there things that I love more than Him? Do I put Him on the highest pedestal in my heart and everything else falls underneath, or are other things above Him? And He's a nice adjunct to life. He is a comfortable plus one to all my living and going and doing. Or is He everything? And that's what Jesus is saying, I must be your everything. The other thought, just random thought of this, the man, the woman who loves Jesus above all things will then be able to love father, mother, sister, brother, children better than they could otherwise. If you love the Lord with all your heart, then you will love them with a love that is deeper and richer and more expressive than ever you could have imagined yourself doing on your own. So, I always say, I love my family. I love them above everything. Well, then we're cheating them. We're cheating them in a rich experience of how much they could know from a heart that is given to God. The Lord just opens that floodgate up, and out it goes, His own dear love to all those around us. Actually, the statement is richer than it is harder, isn't it? It's richer than it is hard. So bless the Lord for it. All right, now let's begin with prayer. Let's begin to pray.